Curious fuckers, we have some exciting updates and news. That's the
BBC, like going in. So we actually have our launch date for our Patreon. It is the 9th of what month?
October.
I knew that. 9th of October, guys. So make sure on the 9th you go and check it out for that extra deliciously interesting, juicy. I don't want to say juicy again, because you always say juicy.
Content. But it is juicy. It's fucking juicy.
It is fucking juicy. It's so juicy. It's like a watermelon.
we spill all the teas. All the teas. All the British teas.
Yeah. Sticky, sweet tea.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Ross.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and together we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram,
every Thursday we invite a new guest onto Fucks Given to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks,
and the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
Hi, Ross. Welcome.
Hello. Hey. Thanks very much for having me.
How are you?
So I'm good. Grand. This is very exciting.
So exciting.
I've been thinking about this like all week. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yay. Exactly. So this is your second ever podcast.
Yes, my second ever. The first one being the one I did with you, Reed, for Tricky, which will be out very soon.
Yeah, BBC Sounds, baby, yes. Talking about sex work, which is really cool.
Yes, it is very cool. It was awesome to do.
Very, very exciting.
It was awesome. I mean, it was so cool actually being in a studio. Florence and I haven't been in an actual studio since, what, lockdown?
Mm-hmm.
Since March, so we're missing it. We're missing it, but it's just...
I'd never set foot into one in my life before I went to that one. But that was your second one that day, because you had done the cancel culture...
Yeah,
which was awesome. I listened to it. I thought it was absolutely awesome.
I was a podcast whore that day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, getting into all the podcasts.
So Ross, please tell our lovely curious fuckers a little bit about yourself.
So my name's Ross. I'm 29. I live in Edinburgh. And
well, it's aid sex location. ASL? What's your ASL?
Oh, yeah. It's very, very ASL. I remember ASL.
I love that. That was great.
Oh, my God, it absolutely was. and I have what I like to think is a relatively successful OnlyFans account, and I do my escorting as well. Or I was doing some escorting before lockdown happened. I'm not meeting anyone during lockdown because that's a dick move. But it has been quite nice though, because I've left the account active, so like I can like make arrangements for after lockdown, and I think it's gonna be really popular. Like, Edinburgh's a beautiful tourist destination anyway. But actually, I think we're going to see a lot of people coming for like little city breaks just because they won't be as keen on international travel.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be so fucking busy. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
All the sex.
Am I correct? Absolutely. Am I right in remembering that you work in healthcare and have a non-monogamous relationship?
Yeah, I do. I work in healthcare and I'm in an open polyamorous relationship. I live with my husband and our partner. And we've been together as a throuple for we just celebrated our 6th anniversary last week.
Wow!
I know. And I've been with my husband for about eight, 9 years. I think my husband was in the kitchen getting a snack. But we can't hold that against him because it's snacks.
So curious fuckers, we have a little bit of a mix-up in today's episode. Not a mix-up, actually.
It was me that was supposed to be here, right?
Yeah. That's not what I meant at all.
We are really excited that this is the first episode of a slightly tweaked format. So you will be hearing a few different sex-related questions. Well, what's it called? Topics. So yeah, thank you very much, Ross, for breaking us in to this first and a new format. We're really excited.
So am I. I'm very excited to be here. This is awesome.
Fuck number one. The last fuck.
My last fuck was 3 days ago, and it was late at night. I'd gone to bed. My husband came to bed a little while after me. Me and my husband sleep together most nights, and our partner sleeps in his own room because he likes his own space. But we do switch around and things like that. So I'd gone to bed. Husband came in. And you know how when the other partner rolls over and like your skin touches and you just know it's on and you just you know yeah, it's like that electricity in the air sort of thing, or like
Ooh, how does that even happen? But it does.
Yeah, absolutely. It's magical. It's, I think it's easier if it's a guy that's getting into the bed because you can just feel the erection and you're like, yeah, okay.
Yes,
you feel it digging into your back. You're like, yeah, okay, it's on. We're gonna do it.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, I love that so much, especially like with morning wood, just like pressing into your back. You're like, oh, it happening.
Yeah, it's that very, very special awareness of, yeah, okay, it's time to go.
I love that.
Yes, it was awesome. And to be fair, he has absolutely tried to have sex again since, but I've either been too tired or too sore from going back to the gym this week. So I said
Shit. You're like, oh my god, I feel
so, like such a dick because there's so many people who aren't having sex in lockdown and I'm literally saying no to it sometimes. So I feel like a bit of a twat, but
I mean, you got to get what you're given.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Like, that's terrible.
You've got needs and urges.
Yeah, but you can't force yourself to have sex just because you can.
No, and exactly. I don't think you should. I think it's very...
No.
It doesn't create for a great experience.
No, absolutely.
I'm going to ask some nosy questions about your relationship. So how is it being in a throuple and having sex individually? Is like, how does that dynamic work?
It works fine for us in our very specific situation. So the three of us live together full time. My husband has another boyfriend who's like just his own like little separate little squeeze on the side, and it's fabulous and they're awesome. So we do actually have opportunities where we are all alone in the house at one point or with one of the other people, so we're not having to like compete with each other for like space for intimacy. We've got just a very nice workable dynamic that suits us.
Yeah, that's so, like, I mean, it's so interesting just from like an outsider's point of view, because when you're only used to monogamous relationships, you kind of just don't even, you're like, how would I even start that?
Yeah, like what the concept, like how does it work and how do you have sex, and I get asked a lot of like how do you not get jealous?
I think the questions I get are, do you not get jealous? Do you all sleep in the same bed?
Three in a bed is not okay.
It's not, even like, in a king size. We are three grown men in a king size bed. Even that doesn't work. You must have threesomes all the time. It's probably the other question I get asked. I think there's an assumption I'm constantly having threesomes, and I'm not, because they're exhausting.
That is like
an anniversary or birthday treat.
Yeah, I had the threesome that I had at the beginning of this year. We ended up all sleeping in the same bed, and it was just like a normal size double bed. My god, it was the worst night's sleep ever. It was so awful
and hot, and like the person in the middle is like trying to, you know, they want to get cooler but they can't then, and or go to the toilet and you can't. It's just not practical.
Falling off the side of the bed, like, oh my god, I just don't have any space.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh god, in the double, like, as well. Oh,
sleeping like sardines, basically. Although the guy that the threesome was with, so it was two girls, one guy threesome, and he was sleeping in the middle, and he like the next day he was like, I loved sleeping in the middle of you both.
Oh, really?
Like, it was amazing.
That's kind of cute,
like that like close
in a bigger bed, but that's kind of sweet. That's cute.
Fuck number two, the best fuck.
Now, I looked at these questions beforehand, obviously, so I've had some time to think about it. But I'm hoping I'm narrowing it down to one. Because I feel like, you know, I've got the boys. I feel like I have to, like, say that one of ours is the best. And one of them is definitely, like, in my top three. And I think it was, like, I think it literally was a threesome on Valentine's Day.
Ooh, oh,
you know, we keep it for special occasions. I don't remember much about it, because, you know, it was fairly, like, you know, it was good sex. Of course it was good sex. It's always good sex. But I think it was just this one moment when I was being Eiffel Towered by the two of them. It's when like you're sucking someone's dick and you're getting fucked at the same time. And like, they may be high fiving. Like, that can happen.
Yeah. High fiving or kissing.
Kissing is definitely the hotter of the two. But
you always see
like a bro high five. I think what I remember most about that moment, because as I say, you know, it was great sex. It was absolutely fine. But it wasn't like, you know, we weren't going out of our way to make the sex better, we were just having good sex. And there's just that moment in the middle where I was like, this is my happy place now. I'm here now. Both at the same time.
That was, bit roasting is the bomb.
Yes, it's something that I never used to appreciate when I was younger. But as like a as a proper grown up now, I'm like, yes, I'm all here for it, absolutely. But I do have one other fuck that I thought was very good in that it probably made me feel the best I've ever felt, but in a very smug way. So not entirely positive. So I was with Mark.
We can be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, we're here for smug. I think if you do good sex, you should be a little bit smug about it.
Exactly.
It was with my ex-boyfriend at the time, but like still like a fuck buddy, which was quite nice and very very healthy, I thought, very modern. And we were at his, he was in uni at the time, so he was living in halls. So I went to his uni halls like once or twice a month and like would stay for like the night. We're having sex on his desk, and this guy was, so I'm 5'7" and like I'm quite broad now, but I wasn't back then, because it was about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And he's 6'5", so he's like much taller than I am.
And
he'll, like, he's never played rugby in a day in his life, but he looks like he could. And he was so much taller than me, so he was sort of, like, sitting on the desk and I was fucking him, and I managed to make him come hands free.
Because
he's like, we were sitting, like he wasn't lying on the desk, he was like sitting on it and his butt was like just far enough off of it.
Oh my god, that's so hot.
And like there was moonlight coming through the window, and our chests were like rubbing against each other. I think it was the friction that did it. And I felt so smug and so self-righteous. I was like, I am a god. I am the fucking god. No one will ever be better than me.
And a hands-free cum is the fucking
I imagine it must feel pretty great, but doing it to someone felt pretty great as well.
I haven't even touched your dick, mate. And you're all over the place. Just bam me. Oh, that's just...
I think... We need to be proud of ourselves when we do really great sexual acts to other people, because we're just like, we've just given like great pleasure, and like there's nothing better than that feeling.
Oh yeah, it's all about giving them a bit of worship and a bit of love.
Exactly, exactly. You know what? When you said the thing about the happy place, this brought like a random thought into my mind, and I was wondering if like either of you would relate to this. Mm-hmm. So I've always had like this massive phobia of death. But sometimes when I'm having sex, I get into this place where I'm just like in such a moment of pure bliss and happiness that I feel, this is the only time I ever feel like this, I am so happy right now, I would be okay dying in this moment.
Just this moment. I mean, that would be the best.
If you're gonna die, you might as well take that moment of bliss to go out on. I wonder if actually what's happening is you're so close to like just shedding your physical form altogether, and that's what the feeling is. Your soul's trying to push its way out of the body, but it just doesn't quite make it.
Transcend.
Absolutely. If you're going to transcend, that's how to do it. It's not through meditation. It is through just getting
sex.
Literally fucked out of your own body.
Yeah. Because sex can be such like a surreal, like even psychedelic like experience. Mm-hmm.
It takes you places.
It really does. Like
it can do, yeah. I mean, I feel like it definitely happens in your older life. Like I remember trying to reach that so much when I was younger, and it's only until now I can have that sex where you literally feel so high, and you're just like, and on top of that, I was also thinking you get oxygen high as well because you're breathing so much. And so that must play a part. But yeah, when you like literally leave your own body and it's like an out of body experience looking down at yourself, like what the fuck?
Imagine if that actually fully happened.
I'm pretty sure I had that with my last fuck.
I think if you fucked your clone, I think that's how you would see it. Because when you reach that moment, they would reach that moment, and you would just see it and know what it looks like.
That'd be so interesting.
Absolutely.
Like a clone.
I would absolutely fuck my clone. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Without hesitation. It's the ultimate knowing that you're good at it.
Yeah. I feel like it's the ultimate in self-confidence. It's like, fuck yeah, I'm sexy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do actually, I have a little bit of experience with this. Not that I've ever cloned like myself, but that would be, you know, that's not great. but I did make like a dildo of my dick. Like, you know how you mold ones? So I was doing it for a client, and then who lives in America, so like he's not gonna get the real thing, he might as well get, you know, a fair copy. And despite that being an incredibly stressful process to make, and I fucked it up twice. And I my confidence is shattered, like, because trying to like you have to do the mold very quickly, you've got like 2 minutes before it's unusable.
Yeah.
So you're fiddling about mixing stuff and trying to stay hard at the same time. And it's just...
That is pretty impossible, actually.
Because Florence and I have done cloning pussy kits, and they are hard. But let alone if you have to stay hard in a like in a cold mixture. I can't even imagine how that must
be. It's not cold, actually. I think people just think it's cold, but actually it's not. It's relatively close to body temperature.
Interesting.
It's not too cold, but it's not too hot either. Before I sent the good one that I made, before I sent it to the client, I absolutely fucked myself with it. Just so I could say, yeah, I know what my dick feels like. And now, no one can ever tell me to go fuck myself, because I'm like, I have. And it was good. It was good. Like, I definitely see why people like my dick.
Fuck number 3. The fantasy fuck.
Absolute fantasy fuck. Probably just the very typical, sorry, sloppy, piggy, gangbang, one bottom 10 tops thing. I think I definitely want to, like, I'm not like a by no means a total bottom, very, very much versatile, but actually sort of just being like the one bottomy for the 10 tops. And just poppers constantly just getting blitzed. That is, absolutely. I think that's the fantasy, definitely.
Yeah, being like a total fuck pig.
Yes, absolutely. Just not having a clue what's going on. It does look pretty awesome. Like, it makes for good porn.
I think this is the best thing about this section, is that it's basically our porn, like our own dream porn scenario.
No limit.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's amazing.
You
can fuck a moon and like open up a suit and like actually fuck on them. I don't know. Some crazy shit.
Yeah. What, in detail, what would be going on in this orgy? Like, what would be, or have you not really thought that far?
Not too much. I think one of the really easy ones that I could conjure and I'd be very happy with is, I used to play rugby up until just the end of last year. So the very typical locker room, but room that has a comfortable bed in it. Because I'm not doing it on some bench or something like that. I want to be comfortable while I'm getting ploughed.
Scanty floor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is the ultimate fantasy fuck. It has to be,
it should be very comfortable.
You've got close to bed in the middle of these changing rooms.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of gay rugby teams around the UK, and there's lots of very hot players in those teams. So it's not even an unrealistic fantasy of, like, I don't know, the English football team or whatever. Not the English football team, that's a terrible one. But like the Scottish rugby team. I don't know why I didn't start there. The Scottish rugby team. All gorgeous guys, but most of them are probably straight. It's never gonna happen. But there's all these people who actually exist who are gay rugby players who will play you. It's amazing.
Potentially this could even be reality.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As soon as I'm allowed to fuck other people who I don't live with, I will absolutely be trying to make something like that happen.
Really? So this fantasy fuck is like a very real thing.
I don't see why not. Absolutely not. I just need to do like a little tour of the UK and like organize a gangbang in one of them. And like, it can't be that hard. Everyone seems to do it.
What is it about gangbangs?
I think it's just the exposure, not just a different dick, but like, you know, it's quite nice that every dick is different. But like, to like the way that person fucks and how they interact with others and things like that. I think there's a lot to be taken from that, and just the used feeling. The more people who use it, the dirtier it gets, you know.
And also like center of attention and having everybody want to fuck
absolutely
you.
Like, they may think it's for them, but this is absolutely for me. This is me worship, and this is the way I'm going to get worshipped. And they can leave the money at the door.
I've heard of someone was telling me about this sex party that they went to, and they saw like a huge queue, like a line of people. I can't remember if this was in the podcast or not, but
I feel like it was.
And basically they thought it was a queue to the toilet, but turns out it was a queue to fuck this lady in this bed. Awesome. And it was just like a massive queue of people, and she was just getting like fucked by all these people. And like, I think it is like a really hot idea. I don't know if I'd actually want it ever in reality, but like, I've definitely masturbated to the thought of this being like fucked,
and it's the
fucked and used.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's the especially with something like a queue. These people are waiting. You know, time is the most precious resource in the universe. It's a finite, and they are dedicating some of that precious resource that they're never going to get back to standing in a line, not even fucking you, waiting to fuck you.
Yeah,
I swear this person that said this story was like, I was waiting for the toilet in this queue, and then got there and was like, oh, it's just a woman.
I want to know what they did when they got
there. Yeah.
Did they actually go in?
I'd be like, you know, if it was behind a closed door, you might not know until it's literally your turn to go in.
Yeah, literally your turn.
And then you're like, well, I did come for a pee.
Yeah.
And then she says she's up for that, so you're fine.
Yeah, can I just on you, inside of you?
Why not?
I mean, may as well make it water sports as well. Why not?
I feel like various body fluids are going to be involved in this, no matter which we use. So you might as well just put down the rubber and just accept it.
Yeah. She wants a human toilet. It's perfect.
Absolutely.
And you just want to be like handcuffed, like strapped up to the bed so you can't even like move or get out.
Oh yeah, handcuffed, blindfolded, headphones on, whatever.
Yeah, like, sensory deprivation.
Absolutely. Just play some like Disney music or something. Just something.
Oh my god.
Not any of those like popper beats, but just give me like The Lion King.
That would be fucking unreal. Imagine just like literally not knowing anything.
I don't know how I feel about Disney music. That would throw me off. I'd be sitting there singing like,
"Let it go." This is a whole new world.
It's kind of crazy because this stuff actually does happen.
Oh, absolutely. Like, anything that we can imagine absolutely happens.
Yeah, apart from like alien stuff.
That we know.
Oh, I know. That would be my dream.
Absolutely. And, like, I'm a huge Star Trek fan, so like, I love aliens from all places. And
yeah,
absolutely want to get fucked by some of them. Like, absolutely.
Oh, right?
Yes. Yeah. Abducted, turn into like a little sex slave, have sexual experiments on you.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they're just like, and then they're really, but they're really nice about it.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Like, you know, like, we've got the probe. Are you okay? Like, can we get you a coffee?
Oh, yeah.
We beamed up a Starbucks.
That would ruin it for me. It's like, no questions. Because they can't speak our language. So they're just trying to, like, I'm a test guinea pig. And, yeah.
I'm just like, I think if I had an alien fantasy encounter, I just want to be impregnated by
the
aliens and, like, grow some little weird, like, alien child whilst
being fucked
every day by weird tentacles.
Fuck number four. The what the fuck?
There was, I've got, this again, this is one where I have like, where I have two shorter stories so it works together.
Okay.
My first one is more of a, me being, us being a dumbass one. So I was 15, I was with my 15-year-old boyfriend. You're like, you know, okay, we're going to like lose our virginity, so it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So we knew that meant anal. And sorry, I take that back. It doesn't, losing your virginity does not just mean anal.
Yeah.
But like, that was the way we had decided to do it. But we didn't know that lube was a thing or that it was a necessary component of the whole process. Didn't know about fingering, didn't know about rimming, you know, none of the prep work that you should do to fuck someone. Especially and I was the bottom for it.
It did not last long at all.
And I didn't try anal again for like 2 years.
Yeah, of course, it's traumatic.
We've all been there. And then my other story is probably like one of the least sexy things that could happen while you're having sex with someone.
So
I met the guy on Grindr. I was at his flat. We were getting down to it in his room. And I was just about to, I was down at crotch level. We were lying on the bed. And I was down at crotch. And I was just about to start pulling down his boxers. Like, you know, like all sexy, like just slowly revealing. And he stopped me to warn me that he had a small dick before I pulled the trousers down. So I pulled down his boxer. I was like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Like, because I'm a grown up, I can totally be okay with that. And it was quite small.
Are we talking like micro dick size?
Yeah. It wasn't great at all. And I was like, I don't know why he felt anything to warn me, because he shouldn't. He should just be positive with what he's got and use it.
But I guess if you are self-conscious, you do. Like, you feel I mean, I even, the last time I had sex, I just got a bikini wax. And I had like a little bit of like ingrown hair, kind of like rash, not rash, but like it didn't look as pretty as like I would like want it to be. And I felt like I feel the need to be like, it's not like looking like the best.
Yeah, and I've got quite a lot of back hair, which I'm learning to embrace, but certainly when I was much younger, it's something I would always warn someone about as if it's a bad thing, which is terrible.
And I would
never think it's anything less than sexy on someone else, but just on me, I was like, no, this isn't okay.
And I hope that
guy's developed more confidence with his dick, because he's got it, he can use it, it works. So, you know, he just needs to own it a little bit.
It is the self-confidence thing, but I think that talking about it is a coping mechanism that we do to normalize it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And almost to gauge their reaction. Like, I do exactly the same thing. I'm a fucking gassy bitch. Like, I burp and fart all the time, especially when I'm nervous or on a one-night stand. I'm like bubbling. And you know when you hold it in, it's so uncomfortable, but yet I still don't have it in me to just like fuck someone new and just to be able to fart comfortably. And I'm trying to get there, but I'm like, I know it's going to smell. It's going to be really annoying.
Yeah.
And so I'm in agony. Like last time I fucked, I literally got up and left the hotel room at 3 a.m. to go into the corridor to just to fart. Just to fucking fart. Is
more care than I've shown to many a one night stand. Oh. And it's nice to look back at that experience now and have a much more positive outlook now than I did then. Because then I did the very whole, oh my God, he has a tiny dick. He was totally right. Why did you tell me this? This is awful, blah, blah, blah.
It
tainted the experience and it tainted that memory. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry that I was like that, but I'm grateful that I'm not like that now.
Yeah.
Because it does take that kind of element of learning and just to be accepting and to remind yourself that, like, if someone says about an insecurity, you've got to be like, hey, I'm totally cool with it. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And that will actually just set them up. The fact that you said that this guy's dick, it was, you know, he knew how to use it. It was a great dick. If you had said that to him then, he might be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. But I think, like, when we're younger as well, because we know, like, everything that we know about human bodies and sex and stuff, a lot of it is from porn and, like, what we assume is like the average and stuff. So when we encounter something that is different, we do have this sort of immediate reaction of kind of shock, don't we? And like, what do I do with this? I've never been told what to do with this. It's almost like a panicking situation.
Yeah. I've done the same with, like, no one taught us or gave us the tools so that when we come across a dick that goes flaccid, how to react to it. And a lot of women especially go, or a lot of people especially go, oh, your dick's flaccid, so therefore it must be my fault, and you're not attracted to me, when often or not it's the opposite. They're so attracted to you that they are that nervous that they've just got
or you're so into the experience that actually you do get distracted. You do lose your boner a bit, but it's not because you're not interested, it's because you're so interested, you're so into it, that actually it's going out of your dick because it's just in, like, all of you, and it's just awesome.
That's such a good way to put it.
Yeah, I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah, it's like in their body, in their mind, not in their, in their member.
But I guess the only way that we really get around those self-confidence issues and also, like, how we feel about other people is just talking about things more openly, I guess, and, like, being open to learn and, like, I guess watching not necessarily just, like, traditional porn, but, like, watching porn with, like, real people. Not that porn stars aren't real people, but, you know.
I don't know. Sometimes, like, and I've met a couple now in my line of work, and some of them do seem a bit, I don't want to say vacuous because that sounds terrible, but there's not as much thought into what they're doing, which is fine because, you know, it's still something that's attractive to a lot of people. I like to feel I bring a more real, authentic amateur stuff. That's why my stuff looks terrible, because I don't know what I'm doing, and that's why I think I'm good, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing what everyone else is doing, but with a camera on.
Yeah, love that. And that's on your OnlyFans.
Yeah, that is my OnlyFans, people. Check it out. It's like five bucks. It's nothing.
What is your OnlyFans?
It's just my initials. It's RMWXXX. Because I did not think of a clever porn name when I started out. And I should have. Because it would be so much easier for, like, marketing and branding and things like that. I totally regret not doing it now.
Well, I mean, there's, like, it's fine. People will find you if they want to. Absolutely. I actually did want to ask you, with your job, how that works with sex work. Do they know? Are you honest about it with them? Or is it like two different things?
It certainly wasn't my intention to let anyone work know. Not for any reason other than I didn't feel it was necessary or appropriate, because I'm there to do a very different function. And I didn't want... But I don't have a problem with sex work, of course. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of other people would somehow think that would affect my performance or the quality of my work or the intention of my work. So I kept it down. Some people at work do know and are obviously fine with it. And there's nothing, I certainly couldn't find anything explicitly in any rule that said that I wasn't able to do it. I created a new Twitter. I don't have work people on it. I do try and keep them separated. My feeling is, and this is based purely on my own speculation and experience, is it's a healthcare service. It provides healthcare to all, and it has to appear neutral. So actually, I think they support people's health.
Yeah,
in its different ways. So there has to be a degree of neutrality in that.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. They have to be.
And they should be. They should. That's the way to be. I think that's the ethical and moral way to be, is actually to be as neutral as possible, because you don't want what you're doing to be affected by preconceptions.
Yeah, and it's quite, I guess it's quite random, because we are in a bubble of like people that really like support sex work, mm-hmm. and see like everything that like we all do is like really normal. Like talking about sex is really normal, and it's not like this like seedy like underground thing. But like, I had a conversation with my dad the other day about like what I do for a living, and he's still very much of the opinion that like what I do is very like underground and like seedy, and like I'm gonna get taken in by like traffickers and like,
yeah,
like, and it's really important to tackle sort of things like that head on, because actually nothing that we're doing is illegal. You know, sex work is not illegal. It is inherently legal, and I pay tax. I just filled out that self-assessment form, so if I can get taxed for it, then it's real. It exists.
Yeah, and why is it seedy? Like, we all do it. The only reason that we are all here on this earth, on this planet, is because someone had sex.
Yeah. Just that one person, just someone.
It speaks to, one person did it by themselves. It does speak to, a much wider sort of societal problem about how we think about sex. And we've been taught from a very young age, we've all been taught to see sex as either just a necessary function for reproduction, not even for pleasure, but just for reproduction. Or is this sort of quiet, shameful thing because it's not for young people and things like that? And that's fine to a degree. You know, there is something to be said for not showing kids everything. You know, that's something that happens. There has to be time for that sort of thing. But we do make it look like it's a naughty thing to do. And then, of course, as young people, we're like, oh, we want to do that because it's naughty and we're not supposed to. And then you do it and you realize, actually, these are just a hot mess. You're just doing it with someone else. And it's not that big a deal. And it's we put so much emphasis on what sex is in a bad way that actually when we do it, we realize actually it's nothing. It's just what you happen to be doing at that time. It's good cardio, as I call it.
Yeah, it's great only cardio. Just hitting
the gym.
Fuck number five. The fuck that changed the game.
My very first threesome. Absolutely changed my opinion of sex for the rest of my life. In a slow, gradual, it wasn't like an instant like lightning bolt, but that started a chain of events that absolutely brought me to where I am now, for which I'm very grateful, because I'm quite enjoying life. Coronavirus notwithstanding. So I was with my husband. It was before we'd got engaged. And we were talking very casually about like bucket list things and things we'd always want to do. And of course I said a threesome, because that's on everyone's bucket list, whether you're willing to admit it or not. And then you do it, you realize it's not as big a deal as you thought it was, just like sex the first time. And I jokingly said, oh yeah, I'd love to have a threesome. And he's like, well, you know, we can if you want to. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, I was 19. I thought I was monogamous. I didn't know there was another way to be, you know, I wouldn't even do like casual hookups. And I was always, you know, you could only have sex with your boyfriend, that sort of thing. That sort of almost institutionalization and sort of like societal looking at it. And I was like, yeah, okay. So you got one of his friends around who was lovely and he was so nice. And it was a lovely experience. But I have never been as nervous in my life. And I'm like, I've done stuff. Like I've seen stuff. And this is absolutely the most nerve-wracking, almost impossible thing to do. I was shaking so hard, it was sore.
And
looking back, I have absolutely no logical rationale for that, but it was such an incredibly anxious experience. And because it went so well and it was lovely and the other person was lovely and my husband was lovely about it, and we did it a few more times and I got much more comfortable, felt much more comfortable myself, and then we sort of moved from that to a sort of semi-open relationship, and then we met our boyfriend, so that all started. So that one threesome literally started how my life has turned out.
So it literally opened you up to like a whole new world. It taught me that there
is other ways to be, and now the only way I want to be is a different.
That's incredible. I do know that threesomes are the most popular kink that every like across all genders and all sexualities. Most popular kink.
Actually, I find them a lot of hard work.
They are hard work. They're really hard work. And they're not always necessarily pleasurable. You're getting off on like the experience, the pleasure of
the atmosphere.
Action. Yeah.
Yeah. The atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to come in a situation like that. There's a lot to think about. You're not just thinking about
you never know when you're supposed to come. It feels like there's been a lot of time where that's your little channel to come. Because it can be very confusing. You don't like, how do you know when it's like starting to taper off nicely?
Yeah.
Or you know, when's it ramping up? You know, when does the next person show up?
You're very clocked on, I feel, like the whole time during a threesome, because there's so much like that you need to give your attention to, because you want to make, it's almost like, okay, there's two people here and I want to make sure that they're both having a great time and I'm giving pleasure. Like, I want to make sure that I am giving pleasure to both of these people. And you can't, like, you just can't lose yourself.
You're the ultimate party host.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're the sexual party host.
It literally is that. Mm. Do you also think that we all have this fantasy for a threesome because it's been mentioned so much in like popular mainstream media?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you think about people like Vin Diesel in the XXX movie, which is like that sort of thing is like transformative for like, especially for young guys. Yeah. You know, you're the big, strong, muscular man who's got this specific skill set. You walk into the room, there's a massive bed, and there's two very slim ladies trailing themselves over the bed.
Yeah.
And that's like, you're supposed to be, you're taught that that's sort of, that's cool and that's different. And that's like a seminal life changing event sort of thing. And then you do it and you realize that it's not at all. It's just another day.
Yeah. Exactly.
A good day, but it's still just a day.
It's kind of like the more manageable, like gangbang or orgy. And you have two people focusing on you in most people's minds.
Yeah.
So, although I would argue that a foursome is actually easier because you can kind of go in pairs. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's always the risk one of you is going to be left out, which can be absolutely fine, you know, if you're just chilling and getting some downtime. Or it can make you feel quite excluded and left out. So if anything, I would argue that a foursome is easier.
Yeah. I had this fantasy with the last person that I was seeing. That like we were going to become, because we started watching like more like sex tutorials and stuff. And I was just like, we are both going to become like the best at sex. And like, we're going to go out and like have threesomes and just show people like the best time and give that one person like the best pleasure that they have ever experienced in their whole life. I was so excited about this fantasy, but obviously it's not going to happen now because I'm not seeing them anymore. But still.
There will be others.
Yeah, there'll be others. Hopefully. You can do that. You can go around teaching people and teaching.
I just wanted to be like, you know, that's like the ultimate like partner in crime, like power couple, where you're just like going around and fucking people.
For fuck's sake.
This week's sex question is, by any chance, you don't have some recommendations to be on top during sex? Movements, advice, tips and tricks for being on top and make men crazy. Even exercises to do at home to have strong legs to be on top.
So for me on top, I take it you mean that I'm bottoming but I'm sitting on top for the sake of this question.
Yes.
Yes. I assume that's what they must be meaning. This comes from a woman. Mm-hmm. So I do quite like sitting on top sometimes. I don't always, because sometimes you don't always want to be in control. But if you want to be in control, excellent position to do it from. Mm-hmm. Squats, if you're looking for an exercise, certainly for me, I do a fair bit of squats. So squats never hurt. Make sure you just tighten up your butt. If it's anal sex you're having, definitely make sure you keep tightening that butt up.
Glute exercises.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. It's always about being ready. I think... If someone is getting to fuck you, if they have got the privilege of going to town on whatever it is you got to give, I think they owe it to you and to themselves a little bit as well to like to get the area ready. So if I'm getting fucked and I'm sitting on top, you better be making sure I am wet and as sloppy as anything. So like lots of ribbon, lots of fingering, lots of just getting me into the mood. If you want to fuck me, you have to make me want to get fucked.
Mm-hmm. You need to feel like a queen on top.
Yeah, absolutely. You should feel like fucking royalty.
Exactly.
And you're just, and they are just your mindless little fuck stick. They're just a little thing poking at the ground. That is for you to slam down on the way you want to do it. And if you're tighter or if you're maybe not as experienced, being on top can be good because it lets you control, like you tell the other one just to sit still and shut the fuck up. And you decide when you're ready to like to move.
Yeah.
And that gives you a bit more control, especially if it's something you're a little bit intimidated by.
Yeah, I fully get the like hesitation and like the intimidation of being on top, because I've definitely been in that position where I'm like, I don't feel like I'm that great at being on top, because I'm like, I sometimes don't even know like what movements and what things to do. Like my favorite thing being on top is when the person underneath takes the control.
It is fucking you, like, and you're holding your position. You're like shaking and holding you up.
I love being the top doing that, because I've got, not to brag, but I've got like excellent rhythm in my hip for that. Terrible dancer, great fucker. like if you can hold their hips and then just like slam as hard as you can, it's a great abdominal exercise as well.
Oh my God, yeah.
I mean, work in there, it's awesome.
I fucking hate being on top so much. I'm such a lazy bitch. I want to be like, that's the only way I'd be on top, is if I was on top and then someone was holding my ass up just to fuck me.
I think also when people are taking it from the bottom, like everyone likes it like slightly different movement and rhythm wise. Mm-hmm. And it also is all to do with like the shape of whatever you're fucking as well. So you really have to test the waters when you're mm-hmm. up whipping, like fast, slow, and like ask them like how they like it. And like, maybe they can like also guide you as well. Like I love it when someone like takes like my butt in their hands and like mm-hmm. sort of moves me like with what they want as well. Like I feel like being on top should be a joint effort. Like it should mm-hmm. be like, it shouldn't just be like all up to you and you're like, shit, like what do I do? But mm-hmm. it also, like as you said as well, like you want some advice for like exercise and stuff. It doesn't hurt to have really fucking strong thighs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's painful. You know, I do like three squats and I'm like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
No, like.
So become a squatting pro, basically.
But also you don't have to as well. If you want to actively go out and do those exercises, then do your squats. A good tip was like whenever my mate brushes their teeth, they do squats while they're brushing their teeth. So they're not even thinking about like going and doing a session. It's That's just part really of their brushing teeth routine. Yeah, I was like, sick.
That is nice actually awesome.
Yeah. Love it.
Oh, what you were saying as well about size, I think is a good point, because I also can't get on top of the dick is too big and I cannot sit directly. You know, when you sit comfortably on top of something, I'm in too much pain. So I'm like having to hover a couple of, like, however, yeah. And it can be really painful. So it just depends on how you're made, really.
Absolutely.
Fucking hell. This week's sex story is, when I was 15 and my boyfriend at the time was 16, his dad walked in on us fucking. Oh. He told us we weren't allowed because of the age. We started fucking in public, like on malls or in parks, etc. Oh my God. However, when we were home alone one day at his house, we fucked, obviously. When his dad came home later, he told us again that we weren't allowed, and we said we didn't. He told me to leave, and before I did, me and my boyfriend found a camera under the TV, which was pointed at the couch where we had sex. His dad recorded us having sex, including anal and vaginal sex.
Oh my God.
Only to have proof. When he found out that we knew about the camera, he said that he was sorry and he didn't save the video. Till this day, I regret not suing him for child pornography, and I feel disgusting thinking about it 3 years later. That's so far.
That's fucked on numerous levels. Because it started off fine. And like, and then when the dad said, you can't do that, you're not old enough, that's legitimate. That's fine. You know, that's a law and it's there for a reason. And I know that, you know, young people don't necessarily care about that as much, but there is a legal thing there that you do have to worry about, and that's totally legitimate. Mm-hmm. So that's perfectly fine advice. How that escalated from just fucking at home and getting caught to then fucking outdoors where you're definitely going to get caught. I don't understand that jump. How did they get from shagging at home to then shagging everywhere just because their dad said it was illegal, which it was?
Well, it's probably like made it more taboo, and if they couldn't fuck at home, they had to find somewhere else to fuck.
Yeah,
but when I go public, you find like, you know, you get in a car or you find like a deserted beach or something.
I feel like they must have been in a car. They said the mall, so I feel like
I'm imagining a toilet or a dark corner or something.
I'm imagining right in the middle, right in the middle, sitting by the fountain in front of everyone.
That's wild. I guess we can't ignore the fact that in this story, this guy should have been fully sued and sent to prison and
the whole filming to prove, why would you go to that? Why would you go to that extreme? How is that?
When it's your children.
When it was anyone, how is that the only reasonable scenario that came to your mind? God. And then you have to watch a little bit of it. And then there's the whole pedo-y connotation as well. That is not a good reaction to that situation at all.
Not at all. And I actually think that when parents find out that their kids are having sex, obviously their kids are going to be having sex. Mm. When you get to that age, you want to, people tend to want to lose their virginity. They're going through puberty. It's a totally normal thing to happen. I lost my virginity when I was 15. My parents probably wouldn't have been cool, go ahead. And I did wait until they were out on holiday. But still.
I mean, I tried when I was 15. I failed, but I did try.
But you just have to be, parents just have to, be okay with it. It's a human experience.
I don't know. It's just because I think a lot of parents get to that point in their lives where they don't feel comfortable about sex within themselves, so they project it onto their children.
Yeah.
And it should just be it should just be part of the regular conversation. Fingers crossed we'll change that.
I could maybe have understood a more extreme reaction if the older one was a lot older. If it's 15 and 30.
Or even maybe 15 and 20, 19 or something.
But when you're sitting right on the cusp, is that the appropriate reaction?
It's not okay.
It's totally illegal and disgusting.
I bet there's a straight white man who did that and thought it was okay.
Probably,
100%.
Can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Time for us to fuck off.
Fuck off, everyone.
Thank you, Ross, so much for coming on. Your stories were fucking brilliant.
Yes, thank and so great much. Advice too. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Where can our curious fuckers find you?
You can find me on Twitter at RMWXXX.
Nice.
And then OnlyFans as well, yeah?
And on OnlyFans, but you'll find all the links there.
That'll be on Twitter.
You'll find it all on Twitter. It's all there.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for so much for listening, guys. We are just sending our love out to you wherever you may be. And please do rate and what's it? What do you say, Florence? The bit where they actually have to write?
Rate and review. Subscribe to this podcast. But also, I'm going to do another shout out to leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts because we got a couple of 1 stars. And who the hell is such a hater?
Oh.
So we need to up, because we used to be at 4.9 stars. So that's a really top rated podcast.
I only do quality podcasts.
I was going to say,
it cannot be a 1-star podcast.
It's basically just a disgruntled ex of ours or someone who hates us who's just making loads of new accounts just to rate and be like, I hate you.
Yeah, trolls. Absolute trolls. So we need your help, curious fuckers, to pump that back up again.
Yes, please.
Please, curious fuckers.
Yeah, and also please share this podcast to anyone who may enjoy it. Follow us. You can follow us on Instagram at comecurious and read Amber X and Florence Bark.
Oh yeah, and then if you have a sex story or sex question, please email it in at fksgivenpodcast@gmail.com. And you will hear us next week, curious fuckers.
Yes. We've also got a Patreon coming for all the special extra goodies and things. So yeah, make sure it's going to be released soon. You'll have all the details then.
Yeah. Keep your ears and eyes peeled.
And your penis is peeled.